Good afternoon, and again, I apologize about being delayed. We have several committees going on all at once. Let's turn it over to Senator Wykowski on SB 1333 for a second item of the day. We welcome you back to committee, sir.
Good afternoon, and I realize there's a lot of young Californians in the hallways today. So the California Constitution allows charter cities a considerable amount of autonomy regarding land use regulation. In regards to municipal affairs, a charter city's owner charter provisions or ordinances are controlling even when there's a conflict with the California state law. The Constitution, however, makes an exception for this autonomy when a regulation is a matter of statewide concern. Those are the magic words, the statewide concerns. We're all aware of the housing affordability crisis that continues to nag at the state of California, and it's reached the level of statewide concern. So existing law requires a charter city to develop a general plan, but doesn't require the charter city to be consistent with the general plan. So SB 1333 closes this loophole by applying state planning and zoning laws to charter cities and ensures that charter cities, zoning ordinances, specific plans, and development agreements are consistent with their plans for affordable housing outlined in their housing elements. And with me is Sasha Hardin, who's with the Western Center of Law and Poverty, and Brian Augusta, who is with the California Rural Legal Assistance Foundation, in support of the bill and to answer any questions that you may have on the Kennedy Commission versus the City of Huntington Beach case.
Gentlemen, we welcome you to committee. Thank you for being here.
Good afternoon, Chair.
You have 2 minutes.
My name is Sasha Hardin with the Western Center on Law and Poverty, and we're co-sponsoring SB 1333. This bill would correct a recent appellate decision that held that a charter city can take development and zoning decisions that are inconsistent with its adopted housing element and stated plans for accommodating its fair share of regional housing needs. The bill would ensure all cities play by the same rules with respect to planning while preserving the ability to tailor plans to local circumstances. As courts and the legislature have acknowledged through development of housing element laws and other planning laws, local zoning and development decisions have consequences that reach far beyond city boundaries. Local development decisions affect complex, interrelated regional systems with regards to transportation, housing, natural resources, public utilities, and the like. And this was made abundantly clear in a recent state audit regarding homelessness, which found that the state has an important role to play in addressing that growing crisis and must do more. So given our statewide housing shortage and the state's interest in ensuring proper regional planning, we must ensure that cities follow uniform planning rules, and SB 1333 eliminates an antiquated two-tier system where all cities are required to enact general plans with certain elements, but only some cities are required to make sure that their decisions are consistent with those plans. So for that reason, we urge an aye vote on SB 1333. Thank you.
Mr. Harkin. Any other witnesses in support?
Brian Augusta on behalf of the California Rural Legal Assistance Foundation. It's been well stated by the senator and my colleague as to the need for the bill, so I would just urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sosin Madden at Lighthouse Public Affairs here on behalf of California YIMBY in support of the bill. Thank you.
Kurt Child, Disability Rights California, in support.
Great. Anyone else in support? Anyone in opposition? Any of my colleagues want to chime in? Senator Wykowski, would you like to close?
Yes, I think SB 1333 is necessary for some consistencies and effectiveness of the housing legislation that we're passing here in the state. And at the appropriate time, I'd urge a motion, and then I would urge an aye vote.
Okay. Well, then let's wait until we get some committee members to get the motion, and then we'll vote.
Thank you.
Thank you. So that's 000 on call. Let's find out. Yeah. I don't want to talk to myself. I do that enough. Thanks for asking, Richard. So we're waiting for Senator Hertzberg. Adrian, you want to give him a call, please?
Ready? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to welcome the man, the myth, the legend from Orange County here. We welcome Senator Morlock. Senator, we welcome you to the dais. He's going to be presenting Senate Bill 1395. And then he is also going to be, why don't you start us off with Senate Bill 1049? Is that okay? So we'll just go by file order. Senate Bill 1049, item number 5, and then Senate Bill 1395, item number 13. Senator Morlock, the floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks for listening to me.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Good to have one person at least listening.
I apologize, but running out is we have a large bill with Senator Dodd and insurance today, so I apologize.
I've got insurance and I've got health, so I'm having a
I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
Did not mean to be rude.
So thank you for letting me at least have a little fun with you because you're just an outstanding chair, and I appreciate it.
There you go. Thank you, sir.
So Senate Bill 1049 seeks to address what I believe was bad form by Sacramento. It seeks to right a wrong. We certainly appreciate when we see things that we're just not happy about, and maybe we come back and say, hey, we want to, you know, voice our opinion. That certainly was the case last year. Capitol did not react well to the election of Donald Trump, and we certainly reacted with a lot of bills in a lot of other interesting ways to address perceived wrongs. SB 922, Steinberg, was, I think, an overstep. It can easily be characterized as maybe being heavy-handed. But I know Daryl Steinberg, and I consider him a friend, so I'll assume it must have occurred during a stressful period of time. However, ceasing funding to a charter city whose majority decided to ban project labor agreements, that just seems inappropriate. It sounds like something we would assume that maybe President Trump would do if he really started acting out like we think he would, or some of us do. But Sacramento shouldn't have done that. SB 922 went too far and should be repealed. SB 829, which is also in your briefing, was also inappropriate. In Orange County, we approved PLAs, and it upset our construction community, so we then reversed it years later, and by unanimous vote of the Orange County Board of Supervisors. The board realized that PLAs were no bargain. Open and fair competition for construction contracts was preferred. For the record, PLAs cost 13% to 15% more. They remove the freedom an elected board has to invite all qualified comers, and this affirms local control. Hopefully, charter cities will have projects for affordable housing, school-related construction, and road maintenance. We need to let managers manage and provide the procurement tools they deserve. Colleagues, SB 1049 is an attempt to remove the boot that Sacramento has unwisely put on the necks of local leaders, and I respectfully request and I vote, and I have witnesses.
Thank you so much, Senator Morlock. We're going to welcome witnesses in support. I have an opportunity, sir, to be able to speak for 2 minutes. We welcome you. If you don't mind, just give us your first and last organization, and thank you for taking the time. And if you don't mind, if we can have the sergeants just move the one easel over to the right, just so we're not blocking the public microphone. Sir, I apologize. The floor is yours.
Oh, no problem. Senator Kevin Dayton with Labor Issues Solutions, LLC. I'm a policy and political consultant based in Monterey, California. This bill is about principles. It's about federalism, subsidiarity, separation of powers, and checks and balances. This whole controversy began in Sonoma County. You know about project labor agreements because there were efforts by the Board of Supervisors to impose them. In Southern California, it went the opposite direction, and the bans on project labor agreements on the local level, the big bulk of them occurred. It was triggered in 2009 when a proposed hotel and convention center in Chula Vista was being blocked by aggressive objections to the environmental review, and this was a tactic being used to pressure into a project labor agreement. And Chula Vista and a lot of the business community there responded by putting a project labor agreement ban on the ballot, and the voters approved it handily. And then it started momentum with not only groups like the Orange County Board of Supervisors voting to ban it, but there were also plebiscites. In addition to the Chula Vista ban from voters, there was also the County of San Diego, the City of San Diego, and the City of Oceanside. And then there were some efforts that began in Northern California, City and County of Sacramento. At that point, obviously, the construction Trades Council had enough, and they passed Senate Bill 922, and then the following year, Senate Bill 829. And this basically nullified what local governments had been doing and the people who lived in these local communities. It was inappropriate to do so. It was a wrong interference of the state legislature in the business of local governments. It was claimed that it was an incentive to cut off money for local governments that banned project labor agreements. And that was completely portrayed the wrong way. What it actually was punitive. And it matches exactly what the fear is in California of what President Trump wants to do with cutting off federal money here for sanctuary cities. There's just, I laugh when I hear the complaints about it, and I say, you know what, there's no consistency here. People like federalism when it, hurts certain groups, and then they, turn around, and for other favored groups, they make sure that the central government, slaps down local governments for what they're doing. So that's why this bill has been proposed for repeal. This language shouldn't be in here. The state needs to be consistent in saying a central government shouldn't be interfering in the affairs of a subsidiary government.
Thank you so much, sir. Very grateful for your testimony today. We'd like to be able to welcome anyone else in support of the bill. If you could please come forward to the microphone. Sir, you have 2 minutes. Thank you so much.
My name is Dave Everett. I'm with the I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Associated Builders and Contractors Southern California, and I just wanted to point out a couple things about PLAs, and we're definitely supporting SB 1049. PLAs are they end open and fair competition and bidding on public works projects, and they actually ban non-union apprentices from working on those projects. So as an organization that trains apprentices, non-union apprentices, that's concerning to us. Also, the less competition and the inefficient union rules, they raise the cost, as the senator mentioned. But the Department of Labor points out that only 18% of the construction workforce belongs to a union. So you're actually, 8 out of 10 construction workers you're banning from working on any of these projects. So local cities should have the right to make those decisions. It comes with a long list of other problems as well. A project that would get 25 to 30 bids with a PLA ends up typically getting 4 to 5 bids, so that, of course, increases the price as well. If you go to the link on this one right here, it takes you to buildmoreschools.com. There was a study of 500, and I know that we're talking about all construction, but the stats actually work out very well. It's a 500 California school projects. They did a study, and as the senator mentioned, it was 13% to 15% increase in cost. And so, you're losing those school buildings. If you're a city, you're losing that extra city hall or whatever that facility is. That means also that nearly all the merit shop companies would be discriminated against and effectively priced out of working on the project. And it's not because they won't pay union rates, because these are projects with state or federal or city funding. And so both union and non-union have to pay what they call prevailing wage, even though it doesn't necessarily prevail. Instead, the higher cost is because under a PLA, the non-union companies have to pay into the union health care and retirement fund. Then they also have to pay into their own health care and retirement fund. The problem is because it takes 5 years to be vested in a union plan that the non-union workers aren't able to get that money or get those benefits that they're actually paying for. And so what this poster is trying to illustrate is on a three-month job, they lose over $10,000 on, folks that are working, like on a high-speed rail or something where it's a consistent project through the whole year, they're losing over $41,000 for workers. These PLAs are so offensive that actually 24 states have banned them, as the other chart's trying to illustrate. And so it's no surprise that hundreds of you might run out of time.
You have about 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to point out that a couple weeks ago we had hundreds of non-union workers flood the Capitol and try to make this exact same point. And they were basically just trying to show their opposition to the PLA. The other thing I thought would be interesting to you folks is that PLAs are often used, PLA proponents often use CEQA as a way to leverage to get PLAs, and that actually erodes legitimate environmental support when they're using them just to get labor agreements, and they go, oh, I have my labor agreement, there's no need for this environmental concern anymore. It makes the public look at that and go, was there really ever environmental concern, or is this just a shakedown? So for all of those reasons, we oppose PLAs, and we support the Senator's Bill 1049.
Thank you so much, sir, and thank you for making the trek north today. We'd like to be able to open up for those who are in support of the bill, just to be able to state your first and last in your organization, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members. Richard Markison on behalf of the Western Electrical Contractors Association, the Plumbing, Heating, Cooling Contractors of California, the California chapters of the American Fire Sprinkler Association, and other merit shop contractor groups. Please restore the sovereignty of charter cities by approving SB 1049 today. We're in strong support.
Thank you so much. How you doing?
Good afternoon. On behalf of Associated Builders and Contractors of Northern California, in support, we do support the flexibility of the charter cities, and project labor agreements are very problematic for ABC members. Even though they can technically bid on the jobs, they are prevented from using their all but a handful of their own core workers, which makes doing the job much more problematic. And so we really support the intent and the flexibility behind this bill. Appreciate the author's efforts and urge your aye vote.
Thank you so much. Thanks for being here. Last call for those who may be in support. Last call. All right. If it works for folks, we'd like to be able to move to opposition. Please welcome, sir. Welcome you. If you don't mind stating your first and last, your organization. Per our community preference, what typically happens is that we have one primary witness and two who would be opposed. So, sir, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Lara, too. Jeremy Smith here on behalf of the State Building and Construction Trades Council. We are opposed to this legislation today. We were the sponsors of both SB 829 and 922. And I think that it's important to, first of all, let the committee know that there's a whole section above 2501, 2, and 3, section 2500 of the Public Contract Code, that for public PLAs must, says, that it says public PLAs must include the following five things. An agreement should prohibit discrimination based on all the usual things, race and national origin and religion, and also membership in a labor organization in hiring or dispatching workers to the project. The second thing all public PLAs must include is an agreement that all qualified contractors and subcontractors will be able to bid and be awarded work on the project without regard to whether they are party to a collective bargaining agreement. The three other things, just to finish the thought, that every public PLA must have is an agreement, an agreed upon protocol concerning drug testing, an agreement that guarantees no strikes, no lockouts, no work stoppages, and the fifth thing is that any dispute that arises under the PLA will be resolved by a neutral arbitrator. So public PLAs are exactly the opposite of what the folks that came before me say. They have to have all these things to prohibit discrimination against non-union contractors, non-union workers. And, you know, the issue that's germane to this committee is that the legislature decided when they passed 829-922 that they believed in project labor agreements. They believe the data. They believe the dozens of third-party university studies that show PLAs save money, provide for more on-time project delivery, et cetera, et cetera. And they decided, the legislature decided, to withhold state funds from cities and counties that decided to not even to pass ordinances or to do initiatives that did not even allow the local board to consider a project labor agreement. That's all that these bills did. That's all the public contract code sections do. It's important to remember that PLAs have been around for a long time. These aren't new things. Dozens and dozens of private companies have used PLAs in the private sector: Walmart, GM, Toyota, Honda. Pick a basketball arena, pick a baseball stadium, probably done by a PLA. These aren't exotic new things. For those reasons and many others that I won't go into now unless I have questions, we are opposed to this bill. State taxpayer dollars, you control state taxpayer dollars. If you want to decide where those dollars go to cities and counties, you can do that. So we're opposed today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. We now would like to be able to welcome anyone else who would like to be able to speak in support of the bill. If you could please advance at this time, anyone else in support of the bill, or excuse me, opposed. My goodness, get Mr. Morlock some additional support. I apologize. Anyone else who is in opposition? All right, let's bring it back to the committee for any discussion. Hearing no discussion, I would welcome a motion, and you're more than welcome to be able to bring forward a motion on your own bill as well, Mr. Morlock.
I'm happy to move the bill.
All right. We have, there we go. We have, there we go. Before we go to closing comments with Mr. Morlock, I just wanted to take a moment. Mr. Morlock and I were able to sit down last week and have a conversation. And what I always appreciate about the good senator is always willing to be able to have a discussion, whether we agree or not. Grateful for his friendship and partnership and the ability to be able to work with you. I know we don't see eye to eye on this exact issue, but what I want to say is how much I appreciate your willingness to be able to have the discussion early, know that you work hard for those that you work for. Mr. Morlock, I know you know I'll be opposed today, but I'd like to offer you an ability to have closing remarks, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, it is a wonderful working relationship, and I really appreciate it. I think one of the individuals that support the bill said, let's support the sovereignty of charter cities. And that's what we're talking about today, Mr. Chair. If a PLA is a great option, then allow managers to manage and let them make that decision and let them look at the alternatives. I think withholding cash is inappropriate, and I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you so much. We do have a motion by Senator Morlock. This is a due pass to appropriations. Ms. Lanchester, roll call vote, please.
McGuire?
No.
McGuire, no. Wynn? Bell? No. Bell, no. Hernandez? Hertzberg? Lara?
No.
Lara, no. Morlock?
Aye.
Morlock, aye. 1-3.
We currently have a 1-3. We're going to keep the roll open and allow members to be able to add on. Thank you so much, Mr. Morlock. Members, just a quick bit of housekeeping, and I appreciate the indulgence. I'm going to be across the hall. Presenting two large bills on insurance with Mr. Dodd. If I scoot out, I'm going to turn the gavel over to Senator Lara while Mr. Morlock is presenting. And then once Mr. Morlock is completed, we'll turn the gavel over to him if I have to step out. But I just wanted to be able to state that publicly here, Mr. Morlock. And then as Mr. Morlock is about to present his next bill on personal income taxes, particularly on corporation tax law, I want to say on the credits, I want to say how much I appreciated our ability to be able to work together on this one. Amendments are being advanced today on this bill, and also happy to support it. Mr. Morlock, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Certainly, someone who's been in management has observed employee abuse and certainly have experienced friends and loved ones that have had employers abuse them. Fortunately, not to the extent that we've seen with sexual abuse. But as we reacted to the Weinstein news and as we all try to react to the sad state of affairs, was one of those things that you said, well, this is unbelievable that it's going on. But what kind of infuriated me the most as we were looking at the whole landscape was that California provides a tax credit to the movie and producers. And so we all sort of contributed in some awkward way to what was going on in Hollywood and to a lot of fine women. And that's why I even brought it up last week in governance and finance with Senator Holly Mitchell, who just wanted to ask, what are we doing with the Weinstein, the Toback kind of nonsense as we give away tax credits or tax expenditures? So with that, Mr. Chair, I wanted to see who's getting tax credits. And so I want to thank you for your amendments. I accept them. We've actually taking it down to just certain industry groups by credit and trying to at least see what's going on as we, as a state, encourage industries in California to avail themselves of certain tax credits. I think the information should be provided to us. Sacramento is incentivizing the economy through the credits for research and development. We also call it R&D. Low-income housing. California competes. TV and motion picture production. We'll get those in aggregate in larger amounts, not in smaller granular form. And so I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you so much, Mr. Morlock. Would like to be able to see anyone else in support to please advance. I'd like to be able to see if we have anyone who is opposed to please come forward. We're going to bring him back to committee. Would welcome any questions or comments or a motion. We have a motion by Mr. Lara. This is a do pass as amended to appropriations, and there are several amendments that Mr. Morlock is taking. Again, just want to say thank you so much, Mr. Morlock. Mr. Morlock, closing comments, please.
I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you so much. We have a motion on the floor. Do pass as amended to appropriations. Ms. Lanchester, roll call vote, please.
McGuire.
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Wynn. Bell.
Aye.
Bell, aye. Hernandez. Hertzberg.
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Lara. Lara, aye. Morlock?
No. I'm just kidding. Aye.
Oh, man, Morlock, watch out.
5-0.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
5-0.
Hernandez is not coming back.
Okay.
Who are we missing right now? Hertzberg still on.
I want to say thank you so much to Senator Hertzy. Senator Hertzy does have one last bill with us today, and that's SB 1215. And do want to apologize about the late hour.
Oh, we've got to go. Okay. Yep. I'll make it fast.
We have a motion on the floor, Senator Hertzberg. We do have a motion, and just want to make sure you're comfortable with the amendments.
I am, and I've got a couple of witnesses. I'll let them talk about this issue because they came from far distances.
And again, we want to apologize to our witnesses who are here today that this started so late, but we welcome you. You.
Sit here. No, where's it? Senor. Sit here. You can just ask a question. Go ahead.
We welcome you, sir. If you could just give us your first and last name.
My name is. Mi nombre es. I can.
You're good. Whatever you want to do.
Mi nombre es Hugo Trujillo. Vengo de la comunidad de Martini Tracks. De Tulare, California.
My name is Hugo Trujillo, and I come from Matheny Track in Tulare, California.
Venimos a pedir su ayuda por lo de nuestro drenaje.
We ask for your help with respect to our wastewater.
Tenemos los fondos suficientes del estado para esto. Pero la ciudad de Tulare no ha querido conectarse porque tiene unos proyectos más grandes.
We actually have funds from the state necessary for a wastewater system, but the city of Tulare doesn't want to connect us because they have plans for a bigger project.
Nosotros tenemos muchos años, mucho tiempo batallando con nuestro drenaje.
We have many years, we've been battling for many years to get wastewater service.
Y quiero pedir su ayuda para que apoyen esta propuesta.
And I want to ask for your help by supporting this proposal.
Es todo, gracias.
That's it, thank you.
I just want to say thank you, sir. You have been here since this morning, and just want to tell you how grateful we are for hanging with us. And for your testimony, we're very grateful. Know that you traveled a long distance to be here, and just want to say thank you and apologize that it's taken so dang long to be able to get to this important bill.
Gracias por venir. Es un orgullo tenerlo aquí, saber que usted es parte del proceso. Nomás disculpas que hoy día es un día muy ocupado para todos nosotros. Sabemos que usted vino desde muy temprano, así que gracias por estar aquí y ser parte de su proceso democrático. Gracias.
De nada, para mí esto es bien porque lo hago por mi comunidad.
It's worth it because he's doing it for his community. Oh,
thank you so much. Very grateful. Thank you, sir. We'd like to be able to see if there's anyone else in support who would like to be able to advance, or if you have some challenges. You are squishy. Go right ahead.
Agencies, just quickly, we have a work with author position. There's a couple issues we'd like to see resolved on the definitions. Identifying a funding source and then dealing with this issue of the whole community buying in order to make sure that we don't have any stranded assets when we do extend service out. So we'll continue working with the senator on these issues, and thank you.
Thank you so much. Welcome, ma'am.
Good afternoon. Caroline Williams from Fairmead, California in Madera County, and we have similar issues to Tulare, and I'm here for support.
Williams, you are the jam for being here. Thank you so much for taking, we apologize, it's taken so long, and thank you for hanging with us today. Welcome, sir.
Yeah, my name is Pedro Antonio Hernandez. I'm with Leadership Council, but on behalf of the California Environmental Justice Alliance, we're in support of this bill.
Thank you, and apologize it's taken so long to get to the bill today.
Thank you for apologizing. No one ever does that.
Hey, there you go. No, thank you very much. Hey, there you go. Would like to be able to see if anyone else would like to be able to speak in support of the bill at this time, or if you have challenges. We now would like to ask folks who advance who are opposed to the bill, can you please come forward? Last call for opposition. All right. Members, we have a motion by Senator Lara. This is a do pass as amended to appropriations. Mr. Hertzberg, closing comments, sir. Thank you so much. Roll call vote, please. Ms. Lanchester.
McGuire.
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Wynn.
Aye.
Wynn, aye. Bell.
Yes.
Bell, aye. Hernandez.
Yes.
Hertzberg.
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Lara.
Aye, aye.
Morlock. Yeah, 5-0.
All right, that is a 5-0. Members, we've been told by Senator Hernandez that he is not going to be coming back, so we are going to close the roll in that vote, and that bill is out on a 5-0 vote. So thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. No, very grateful. Members, we're going to jump back to item number 11. This is Senate Bill 1333, Mr. Wykowski. Item 11, we did not take a vote on this. This is in regards to general plan zoning. Is there a motion to approve? We have a motion by Mr. Lara. This is a due pass to appropriations. Ms. Lanchester, roll call vote, please.
McGuire.
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Wynn. Bell. Bell,
Wykowski.
Aye.
Yes.
Hertzberg, aye. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. Morlock? Morlock, no.
Wynn, no.
Wynn, no. You have a 4-2.
Members, that is a 4-2. That bill is out and formally approved. We're going to close the roll on item number 11. Thank you so much. I think Senator Hertzberg has to take 30 seconds real quick. We're going to get organized as the senator takes a quick picture. We're going to get organized, and then we're going to open up the roll and close down the hearing. All right, members, we're going to be opening up with our consent calendar. Our consent calendar consists of four items today: 15, 16, 17, and 18. Currently enjoys a 5-0 vote. Ms. Lanchester, roll call, please.
Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye.
7-0. The consent calendar passes. We're closing the roll. The bill is out. We're now going to start from the beginning, members, and work our way down the agenda. We got a few bills here today. Item number one, SB 831 by Wykowski, currently enjoys a 5-0 vote. Chair voting aye. Ms. Lanchester?
Wynn? Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye.
6-0. The bill is out. We're closing the roll. The bill passes. Thank you. Members, we're now on to item number two, SB 930, currently enjoys a 5-0 vote. Ms. Lanchester, roll call, please.
Wynn?
No.
Wynn, no. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. It's a 6-1.
That bill is out. The bill passes, and we're going to close the roll on a 6-1. We're now moving on to item number 3, SB 961, currently enjoys a 4-0. Chair voting aye, Ms. Lanchester.
Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg aye. Lara?
Aye.
Lara aye.
Win no to aye.
Seven, ladies and gentlemen, that's a 7-goose egg. There we go. Bipartisan support. That bill is out. It passes, and we're closing the roll. We're now moving on to Senate Bill 1007, item number 4, currently enjoys a 5-0. Chair voting aye, Ms. Lanchester.
Win.
Aye.
Win aye. Lara?
Aye.
Lara aye. 7-0.
7-0. The bill is out, and it passes. Senator Lara, support those glasses as well. Take a look at that, huh? item number 5, we're now moving to Senate Bill 1049. Item number 5, Senate Bill 1049. Chair voting no. Roll call, please, Ms. Lanchester.
Wynn?
Aye.
Wynn, aye. Hernandez? Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Lara?
Aye.
Item number 5, Lara, chair voting no.
I did it off.
What's he doing?
Hertzberg off.
You can go item no. Okay. Item no, Hertzberg. So you have a 2-4.
I request for reconsideration.
Sure, absolutely. The item fails. Request for reconsideration granted. And we're going to be closing the roll on that item number 5. Item fails. But yes, reconsideration granted. Thank you so much, Vice Chair. We're now moving on to item number 6. I think we may, did we close this one down?
Yes.
I think we did. We're now moving on to item number 7, SB 1225, chair voting aye. Current vote is 4-1. Ms. Lanchester.
I thought we did 1225.
1225. One moment, members. Members, we're voting on item number 7, SB 1225. This currently enjoys a 4-1. Chair voting aye, Ms. Lanchester.
Win.
Aye.
Win aye. Lara?
Aye.
Lara aye. That's a 6-1.
Members, that bill passes. It's out, and we're closing the roll on a 6-1 vote. We're now moving on to item number 8, SB 1241. Chair voting aye currently enjoys a 5-0. Ms. Lanchester.
Lara?
Item number 8, 1241, chair voting aye, currently enjoys a 5-0.
Aye. That is a
6-0. That is a 6-0. The bill is out. It passes, and we're closing the roll. Members, we're now voting to, now moving to item number 9, SB 1260. Current vote is 5-0. Chair voting aye, Ms. Lanchester.
Win?
No.
Win no. Lara?
Aye.
Lara aye, 6-1.
That vote is a 6-1. The bill passes. Bill is out. We're closing the roll. We're now moving on to item number 10, SB 1296. Current vote, 5-0. Chair voting aye, Ms. Lanchester.
Win.
Aye.
Win aye. Lara?
Aye.
Lara aye, 7-0.
That is a 7-0. The bill is out. We're closing the roll, and the bill passes. Thank you so much. We're now moving on to, we've already taken action on 1333. We're now moving on to item 12, 1384. Item 12, 1384. The current vote is 1-0. Chair voting no on item 12, SB 1384. Roll call vote, please, Ms. Lanchester.
Win.
Aye.
Win aye. Bell. Bell no. Lara.
No.
Lara no. Hertzberg? So you have a 2-4.
May I ask for reconsideration, please?
Absolutely. Was requested for reconsideration, and reconsideration is granted. Of course, the final vote on this bill is 2-4. The bill fails. We're going to close the roll. Reconsideration granted. Now item 13, SB 1395, currently enjoys a 5-0 vote. Ms. Lanchester, roll call, chair voting aye.
Nguyen.
Number 13, item 13. Yeah, aye, please.
Nguyen, aye.
Wait, no. Go ahead.
Okay. So, and Hernandez's goes, it's a 6-0. 6-0.
No.
Okay. Nguyen,
I
to no.
Wait, hang on. Roll call vote, please. It's a roll call vote on item number 13, SB 1395.
Nguyen?
No.
Nguyen, no. So that is a 5-1.
That is a final 5-1 vote. The bill is out. We're closing the roll. It passes. Item number 14. We only have two left, members. Thank you for your patience. Item number 14, SB 1469. Chair voting aye. Currently a 4-0 vote. Ms. Lanchester.
Nguyen? Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. That's a 6-0.
6-0 vote. That bill is out. We're closing that roll, and the bill passes. And finally, item number 19, SCA 20, currently enjoys a 5-0. Chair voting aye. Ms. Lanchester, roll call, please.
Nguyen? Lara?
Aye.
Nguyen, aye. Lara, aye. And that's 7-0.
7-0. Look at that. That bill is out. It passes. We're closing the roll.
It's good for me. He's the appropriation chair. I have a bill.
Hey, there we go.
That's a lot.
Dang. Nice. I like that. Members, we have another thick hearing next week. Prepare for about 12 hours. So bring your lunch, and Lanchester's bringing a margarita. Thank you so much. We are adjourned. We'll see you next Wednesday.